Our sermon text today comes from Psalm 23. So today we're going to do this. We're going to read it, we're going to study it, and then we're going to apply it. So let's take a look at what Psalm 23 says. David says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. He helps me do what honors him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life, and afterwards I will live with you forever in your home." Now, for most of us, when we stumble upon Psalm 23, it's because we're normally at a funeral. We're normally grieving. We're normally dealing with things that are very sad, very personal. And so it makes it very difficult to ascertain what this psalm actually says. Well, today, we're going to break it down and talk about it, study it, and then apply it, because I think we need to know more about it. So let's start. Number one, Jesus is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. There are many shepherds mentioned throughout Scripture. Abel, Abraham, Lot, Isaac, Jacob, Laban, Joseph, Moses, David. But Jesus is a different kind of shepherd. Not one who vocationally cares for animals, but rather one, the one who cares for and saves his people. You know, David calls God, the Lord, his shepherd. We call Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our shepherd. Peter calls Jesus the chief shepherd or the head shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. The writer of Hebrews refers to Jesus as the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20. But it's John chapter 10. Now, this is a powerful passage. John chapter 10 tells us and garners our attention today because it tells us all about Jesus being the good shepherd. In this passage, Jesus refers to himself in verses 11 and 14 as the good shepherd. Ultimately, we know that he is the protector, the caretaker, and the life giver to and for and of his sheep. Now, ancient shepherds had many duties, including watering and grooming and shearing their sheep. But the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, as Jesus referred to himself, the good shepherd, has duties that were described by David and then defined throughout Scripture to help us understand our relationship to and our role before our Holy Shepherd. So before we dig deeper into the 23rd Psalm and allow it to define those roles and relationships, here's something that we need to do. We need to find out what those roles and relationships are to our good shepherd. We have to understand how we function as sheep under our beloved, holy, and perfect shepherd. So, do we know what the most mentioned animal in the Bible is? It is the duck-billed platypus. I am kidding you. That's not it at all. I remember when I was a little kid, I got a picture of a duck-billed platypus, and I never forgot it. It's amazing what you remember when you're 6 years old. No, it is sheep. You would know it's sheep. I set that up perfectly. It is sheep. Approximately 750 times the word sheep is seen in Scripture. Why? Because there were many shepherds in that era and in that culture. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's talked about a lot throughout Scripture. And these shepherds were documented as those who cared dearly for their sheep. In many written cases throughout Scripture, you're going to see that we are those sheep. David recognized God as his shepherd. And we Christians not only recognize, but also realize that the Son of God is our shepherd. And when we see this, just like David, we are able to see what Jesus, our shepherd, does for us. And then consequently, we get to see how we are to exemplify and emulate and copy and model our lives after Jesus. It's like follow the leader. You know, when I was a kid, and I can remember when I was, I went Cerro Gordo grade school, so there we go. I told Harold and Peggy, they've got their Cerro Gordo grandkids here today. And I said, you know, when I was a kid at Cerro Gordo, not only did I learn about duck-billed platypuses, but I also remember when it snowed a lot. We had this huge yard out in our backyard of our school. And when it snowed a lot, we did something. This lasted for about a half a year. I mean, I think we just kind of liked it, and it never really took off after that. But for 1 year, we would go out, and we grade schoolers would form a trail through the deep snow. I mean, they didn't go out and clean off the grass, so we would go through this deep snow, but it always took one person, and it was never me. I didn't want to be the leader. I was the follower when it was this time of the year. So this one person would go out and say, all right, everybody follow me. And they would carve this trail through the snow, and we would all follow the same person. Now, when we were done, we had created like a snow maze. And it was really kind of fun because then the other classes could come out during recess, and they would follow the snow maze. But it took one person to be willing to plow through that snow and be the leader and establish that maze. Now, the point is that's a kid's game, follow the leader. We wouldn't play that anymore. And yet in life, we play that every day. We follow the leader. You see, you're looking for leaders. We look for leaders, and we are in search of leaders. And that is why when we talk about follow the leader, we understand that there's a tremendous impact that Jesus Christ has on all of us today. Are we willing to follow that leader? Now, with that being said, here's what we know. David, a devout believer, a great shepherd, and like him, we understand that we are called to follow someone. Are we able to humbly say today, the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd? Can you leave the church today, walk out of this church today, and when you meet somebody else, maybe not today, but every day, are you willing to say, I follow that leader? He is my shepherd. And if I follow him, I know that I will be protected for, cared for, and loved by him. Like David, we have to announce that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. If we say yes, if we say I'll follow him, then here's what we say. We are proclaiming that Jesus is not only our shepherd, but he is also, most importantly, our leader. Do we as sheep trust him to lead? Now, I'm going to give you a real humility check here because I'm going to tell you, we're all sheep. Now, I know that's a little disappointing for a lot of people. I mean, I Lions, Tigers, Bears, I mean, that would be a good thing, right? Plus, I've named a lot of NFL teams there. Here's what we need to do. We need to look at ourselves and say this today. I'm not a predator. I'm not a predator. I'm not a lion. I'm not a tiger. Rather, we need to be comfortable saying, I'm a sheep. Are we okay being sheep? I mean, that's a humility check, folks. Are we okay saying that we are sheep? Because if we are, here's what we say. We then fully yield to what we need, and that is a shepherd. We need him today. Listen, look at Psalm 23, 2 through 4. It says, he lets me rest in the meadow grass, here's your key word, and he leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. He helps me do what honors him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. These are the roles of a leader. Now, my question is, don't sheep need a leader? Don't they need a shepherd? I mean, shepherds guide, they guard, and they definitely lead. Here's an example. This is a true story. Tim Callis, a published author, blogger, and book reviewer, shares this real news story that aptly tells us the reason sheep need a shepherd. Hundreds of sheep followed their leader, which coincidentally was another sheep, off a cliff in eastern Turkey, plunging to their deaths while shepherds looked on in dismay. 400 sheep fell 15 meters, which is, if you're not familiar with the metric systems, about 50 feet, to their deaths in a ravine in Van Province near Iran. But the 400 sheep broke the fall of another 1,100 animals who actually survived, continues Callis. He says, shepherds from a nearby village neglected the flock while eating their breakfast, leaving the sheep to roam free. The loss to local farmers was estimated at $74,000. Callis goes on. He says, one sheep wandered off a cliff, and 1,499 others just followed along. Can you picture it? Callis asked. 1,500 sheep, each walking off a cliff, one after the other. Soon they were piled so deep that the ones at the bottom were crushed to death, and the ones on top were lying on a big downy soft pillow. Callus concludes it's completely absurd and tells us an important fact about sheep and the reason sheep absolutely need a shepherd. Kind of changes your whole perspective when you're called a sheep, doesn't it? I mean, you look at this, you're like, man, I'm not sure about this. You mean you're saying that it's I have potential of falling off a cliff, of doing something so crazy and absurd that the people would actually write news stories about us? We do it every day. Oh my goodness, we need a sheep. We need a shepherd because we are sheep. We need a leader. Now, David is very clear about his willingness in verses 2 through 4 to let God lead him. Even the great David, he was a great fighter, he was a shepherd, he was a believer, he was a leader, but he admitted that he needed to be led. Don't we? I mean, really, don't we? In Matthew 9:36, when describing the lost and the helpless and the hurting, he, Jesus, referred to them as sheep without a shepherd. We have a shepherd. We have the good shepherd. Do we let him lead us? Are we comfortable as humble sheep following Jesus? If he doesn't lead us, then who does? Have you ever thought about that? You see, if you're not following Jesus, likely you're following somebody else. And that somebody else could be a very, very bad example, person, leader, shepherd to follow. You see, many people would say, you know what, I've been to the edge of the cliff. And quite frankly, I either led somebody over the cliff or I followed a bad example over the cliff. And today, you sit here today because today, somehow, you are one of those that survived the fall off the cliff. Why? Because today you realize that you don't want to go to that cliff again, that you don't want to fall off the cliff, but rather you say, today I need my shepherd. Today, I need my leader. Do we let him lead us? Peter said in 1 Peter 2:21, Christ who suffered for you is your example. Follow in his steps. That's what sheep do. They follow. 400 sheep, one right after another, crushed to death because they just didn't know who to follow. The shepherds were eating breakfast. Meanwhile, they were falling off a cliff. Jesus said in John 13:15 to his disciples, he says, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Now, based on Psalm 23, 2 through 4, when we allow Jesus to lead us, we are strengthened. We are emboldened. We are enlightened. We won't, like those aforementioned sheep, fall off of the cliff. Rather, we will let our shepherd take us to the top of the cliff where we can see and enjoy without any fear or foreboding the meadow grass, the quiet streams, and the dark valleys. I'm always taken back to Moses when I think about this. Here's a guy. You talk about a great shepherd and leader. Moses was that great shepherd and leader. I mean, obviously, so much of the Bible is dedicated to Moses, certainly in the Torah, the first five chapters or first five books of the Bible. But here's what's interesting about Moses. Moses himself was a great leader. Great leader. But here's what happened. Moses, on one particular occasion, can you imagine? On one particular occasion, he sinned. And because he sinned and because he was disobedient to God, he was punished by God, and he was not allowed to see the promised land because he disobeyed God. Now, God being his great leader, God said, you're not going to go into the promised land, but I'm going to take you up to Pisgah Peak on Mount Nebo, and I'm going to let you see the promised land. Pretty good shepherd. Pretty good leader. Didn't have to do it. He did it. You see, today, if we say, Jesus, I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to be my leader. Here's what he does. He says, I'll take you to the top of the cliff. I'll let you see everything that you shouldn't have done, and I'll let you see everything that you can do. But I'll let you see it, and I'll let you be there with me to enjoy it. He will take us to the place that we never imagined we could go. And I know there are people out there today who would say, I feel like I'm on top of that cliff. I've been to that cliff. I've seen things I never thought I'd see. I've been to places I never thought I would go to. I'm a changed person because I allowed him to lead me and get me past my sin. That is exactly what Jesus Christ does. He takes us to the cliff. So when we let Jesus lead us, we can then learn how to lead like Jesus. This is an admonition to pastors and elders and shepherds and leaders of God's church. And in 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4, Peter says, feed the flock of God. Care for it willingly. not grudgingly, nor for what you will get out of it, because you are eager to serve the Lord. Don't be tyrants, but lead them by your good example. And when the head shepherd comes, your reward will be a never-ending share in his glory and honor. Moses got this, and so will we, when we believe in and live for and love Jesus. Will we, Jesus' sheep, let the good shepherd lead us? And if and when we are called, will we then be ready to lead others to and like Jesus? You know, when you read Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, very good passages, because it kind of lays out the roles that are associated with the church, kind of talks about the gifts that individuals get and how they can serve the church. But when you read these chapters, you can understand what Paul saw of how the church would develop elders and deacons and bishops and pastors and leaders. Why? Why do we need them? Because people need to be led by them. Every single church needs leaders. Leaders. People who will say, follow me. People who will say, follow me because I'm following him and I know where I'm going because Jesus knows where I should be going. Today, more than ever, we need leaders. Let's switch gears. Let's go to Psalm 23:5. We're not going to pass out Chips Ahoy cookies this week. We did that last week, but we are going to talk about food. Why? Because I like it. Here we go. David says, you provide delicious food for me. Almost makes me think about Bray's restaurant. I don't know. My mind just went there for a second. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Now, let me pose the second shepherd sheep Psalm 23 question, and that is, based on this verse, will we allow Jesus to feed us so that we can then feed others the spiritual food of Jesus? Does anybody know what a lamb is? I gotta admit, I didn't know what a lamb was. I mean, I could probably identify one, but I didn't really know what it was. I think I've probably eaten one before because I've had a few gyros in my life, and I think that's lamb meat, I think. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe in Illinois it's just hamburger, and they're not telling me. I have no idea. I didn't know what a lamb was. My dad was a farmer. He farmed soybeans and corn. We had no animals except dogs and some feral cats. That's it. So I didn't know what a lamb was. I will confess, I looked it up. Here it is. You're going to learn something today. A lamb. Not only is it a good thing for a gyro, but it is a young sheep. That's it. It's a young sheep. I didn't know that. Did everybody else know that? Am I? Yeah, you're looking at me. Okay, yeah, I feel really bad right now. All right. All right. It's a young sheep. All right. There you go. I don't know my animals, but I know the duck-billed platypus. Oh, yeah. I can identify one of them. All right. It's a young sheep. Young sheep, perhaps even more so than older sheep, need to eat. They do. In the fifth verse, the Lord, David's shepherd, provides for David. This is about provision from heaven. Lambs need food. Sheep, they need food. The Lamb of God, as Jesus is referred to in John 1, 29 and 36, the Lamb of God provides our nourishment in the form of actual food and spiritual growth and health and faith. You see, when you sit at the dinner table, we do this every night, and when we pray, oftentimes we pray for all of you. Your names come up in our prayer before we eat. As the food's getting cold, we're getting warm because we're praying for all of you. But here's what's neat about it is when we pray, we are thanking our provider. That's what we do. Thank you, Jesus, for the food you've given us. Bless this food. Allow it to keep us healthy and nourish our bodies and strengthen us. We love our family time. That's what we do. And so we're thanking God and his son for providing our food. But we're also, coincidentally in that same prayer, thanking God for providing in us faith and growth and good health. Because that's what our shepherd provides for us. He's the caretaker. He loves us. Do we allow him to prepare our table and set our table and then lead us and feed us at his table regardless of whether life is easy or difficult? If we are allowing the good shepherd to feed us and lead us from being immature young lambs to mature growing sheep, we will not only allow Jesus to feed us physically and emotionally and spiritually, but we will then be equipped, this is important, to feed others the meat and not just the milk of Jesus. I want to read you a passage. This comes from Hebrews 5. It's 12 through 14. And listen to this, because folks, there is a call for all of us. And that call is to be able not only to take in the more solid things that are found in Scripture, but moreover to teach the solid things that are found in Scripture. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, you've been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. But instead, you've dropped back to the place where you need someone to teach you all over again the very first principles of God's Word. You're like babies who can drink only milk, not old enough for solid food. And when a person is still living on milk, it shows he isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about the difference between right and wrong. He's still a baby Christian. You'll never be able to eat solid spiritual food and understand the deeper things of God's Word until you become better Christians and learn right from wrong by practicing doing right. You see, the good shepherd wants his flock to not only be nurtured, but also to be mature. Now, Paul shares this in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and then 3, verses 1 through 3. In John 21, Jesus admonishes his disciple, shepherd, and leader, we know him as Peter, to feed his little sheep and lambs and to care for these same sheep. It was an example set forth by the good shepherd. It was witnessed by Peter. It was now Peter's time. If you think about it, and you go back to the earlier days of Peter in Scripture when we're first introduced to Peter, he was a mess. That guy was a wreck. You can look at Peter and be like, okay, I get it. I'm kind of like Peter. I get it. But Peter grew. Can you imagine that Jesus empowered him to go start the first church? He said, upon this rock I will build my church. It wasn't Peter, it was his faith. It was the faith of Peter. That guy grew. Jesus nurtured him to a place of maturity. And Peter was ready. Do we make the time to feed and nurture God's people? You see, this is more than just about food. It's about all things. It's about being a leader, being an example, showing love, feeding others Jesus while being an example of Jesus. Let me give you an example of this. This is a poem I stumbled across. It's powerful. A woman was waiting in an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shop, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man sitting beside her, as bold as could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. So she munched the cookies and watched the clock as the gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I'd blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve and he's also so rude. Why, he never showed any gratitude. She had never known when she had been so galled and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at that thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat. She sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned in despair, the others were his. He just tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized in grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. How are we feeding others? This is more than just about cookies, folks. Are we giving others ourselves, our love, our help? Are we playing the role of shepherd? Look at Psalm 23, 5 and half of 6. It says, David says, you provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You've welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life. Jesus, the good shepherd. He leads us, number one. He feeds us, number two. And he gives to us, number three. And my question is, do we give like Jesus? Do we give like a man in an airport with a bag of cookies? Luke 6:38, Jesus says, if you give, you will get. If you give, you will get. So what do we do with what we get? Do we give more? David says, my blessings overflow. Jesus says in John 10, 10 and 11, I'm the good shepherd. My purpose is to give life in all of its fullness. John the Baptist said to the converging crowds in Luke 3:11, if you have two coats, give one to the poor. If you have extra food, give it away to those who are hungry. This was seen in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7, where the Macedonian Christians overflowed in giving to the Christians in Jerusalem. Paul admonished his elders and leaders and shepherds to become even better givers in the spirit of cheerful giving. Do we, as God's sheep, give to others like our good shepherd? And if we don't, how can we do it better? How can we give more? I'm going to share a quick story. I have a friend here today that is the owner of Bray's Restaurant, and one of the things, I love this guy, but one of the things that came out at the very beginning when we sat down is he said, we love to give away. We love to help others. Now that's the role of a shepherd. You see, that's a person that sees the value and the power of food and how you can and how we can together give to others. That's a powerful thing to be able to do. You see, when we see the needs of others, we as shepherds, we say we need to feed those sheep. And it goes beyond food, folks. It is food that is called spiritual food. It is giving these people the word, God's word, which is God's perfect food. We got to share it. We got to help people with it. And we got to be willing to distribute it. And that is important. How can we do it better? The divorce court judge denounced to the selfish, boorish ex-husband from the stand in the courtroom. He looks at him and he says, you have not taken proper care of your good wife. I'm going to give her $3,500 a month. The husband beamed from his courtroom seat and said, why? That's mighty nice of you, Your Honor. I'll even give her a few dollars myself from time to time. Just the wrong way to look at it, right? Wow. Jesus gives to us. Do we, as Jesus' sheep, do we give like Jesus? Because a lot of times when you think of sheep, we think, well, sheep don't give. They don't give, they just live. They just follow. Well, speaking of living, lastly, it's evident in verse 6 that David longed to live, this is number 4, forever with his holy shepherd. Let's read this. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me, David says, all of my life, and afterwards I will live with you forever in your home. You know what he's saying? You're with me down here. You help me to live down here so I can live with you up there. Here and there. Do we live for our shepherd in the hope of faith of introducing other sheep to the shepherd? Do we say, we'll live with you down here. We'll be with you down here. We'll love you and serve you down here because I can't wait when we can all be together up there. That's the goal. You see, folks, this thing is going to end. This thing is going to end. What we know as life is going to end, but that thing up there will never end. So are we living down here so we can live up there? And if we are, shouldn't we as leaders and elders and shepherds, parents, mothers and fathers, shouldn't we say this? Shouldn't we say, I want all of us to be up there? And if we say yes, then we are willing to say this. We're willing to say, I'll lead others to Jesus. I'll be that example. Do we and will we serve Jesus in that way? You see, this is a radical thing. You know, for David, the Lord was his life. It just was. It was his life. David centered everything around the Lord in his life. Now, a lot of people would say, that's radical, man. That's radical. You guys are radical people. You tell me Jesus has got to be part of my life? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying Jesus has got to be the priority. He's got to be everything in your life. He's got to be number one across the board in all things in your life. Because when that happens, guess what? He becomes your sheep. He becomes your shepherd. He becomes your leader. And we say, I'll just be your sheep. That is what Jesus wants from us. John tells us in 1 John 2:6, he says, anyone who says he is a Christian should live as Christ lived. We as shepherds, we as sheep, we live for a shepherd. And when we live for Jesus, It reveals to others, sheep like ourselves, what life is like to be led and fed and provided for by Jesus. Now, sadly, many people just don't understand this. I'll give you an example. A rancher had two sheep, but he could not tell them apart. He sheared one of the sheep, thinking that would help, but the wool grew back. He then tried putting them at different ends of the barn, but they always ended up at the center of the barn. Well, one day a wise friend came to him and suggested that he simply measure the sheep. The rancher took the wise friend's advice, measured them, went back to his friend and said, "Ha, that was a great idea. The black one was actually 2 inches taller than the white one." That'll take a while. That'll take a while. When it comes to living for the shepherd, oftentimes we just remain lost and confused. Here's the pun that is intended. It's black and white, folks. It's black and white. We must live for the shepherd, and we must live to help and serve and give and love others. The shepherd wants his sheep with him so that he can do for them the very things that David lists in the 23rd Psalm. I want to read you a passage. This is from John 10, 27 through 30. This is the passage called the Good Shepherd. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do because you can't write on the screen, I want you to write down. Just write down here. Maybe a heading in your Bible. Just put the Good Shepherd. John 10, the Good Shepherd. If you ever want to know where to look, that's it. Now listen to what he says here. This is Jesus talking, and he says, starting in verse 27, "My sheep," that's us, by the way, "My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else, so no one can kidnap them from me. I and the Father are one." They're the shepherds. They are the shepherds, and they lead us, and they feed us, and they give to us, and they provide us with eternal life from above. So how do we as sheep respond? Look at Psalm 23:3. David says, "He helps me do what honors him the most." Do we, like David himself, a great shepherd and a great leader, do we long to go from being a person that is just misleading others to a person that is following our Heavenly Father? In essence, do we say, "God, today, I want to honor you the most. In everything I do, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at school, whatever I do, I want to honor you the most." Do we, like lambs and young sheep, long to go from being nurtured to a place that Paul calls spiritually mature? Folks, we need our shepherd. What are we doing? And are we growing as his sheep? Will we allow our perfect and holy shepherd to lead us and feed us and give to us so we can bring others, sheep like ourselves, to Jesus? This is the 23rd Psalm, and I hope and pray today not only that we will understand it, but rather that we will live by it. Let's close. This song is, and I don't know the name of it, but I know that I've heard it. Here it is. Do we need a shepherd? We need a leader, do we not? See, there's a lot of people today, and I know that in this congregation, there's a lot of people today that are struggling. I know that there's a lot of stress in this congregation, a lot of people who are going through difficult things, battling sickness and illness, questions about what you're doing in your jobs, if you should be in that job, questions about family matters and issues that seem to be out of control. And I can tell you this, God is in control. Last night, I'm going on 2.5 to 3 hours of sleep. I am not dealing well right now with some physical issues. I feel like I was up all night. And so here's the thing I know. I know this morning when I was in my prayer time, trying to stay awake, obviously, I know that God is with me, and I know that God is with you. He is our shepherd. And so today, we can be confident of this. We can be confident that he is going to lead us where he wants us to go. Today, I think we can all say we've been to the top of the cliff. And for those who have fallen off, he brought us back to the top of the cliff. This is what we can lead on today. Praise God for our holy and perfect shepherd. He He is what we need. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything. And in our times of struggle and difficulty, you make it clear that you are leading us. And I pray today that we would be fully yielded to you. Let us allow you to lead us, I pray. We're going to be misled if we don't. And I pray that we'll never mislead others. And I pray that we'll not allow others to mislead us. But I pray today that when we leave this church, I pray today that we will follow you and walk with you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for being our example. Thank you for being our holy shepherd. Go with us and keep us safe today, we pray. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.